In John chapter 5, verses 2 through 9, we find this record. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, lame, blind, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Take note of the question which Jesus asked this unfortunate man. Do you want to be made well? The American Standard version of it says, "Wouldest thou be made whole?" It was obvious that that was the reason why the man was there at the pool. Certainly, he wanted to be made whole or well. But not many people today are truly whole. I doubt if in the entire world that there is a whole person in every respect. One reason for me saying that is that man is a complex being. Man is and man possesses various characteristics. For instance, man is a body that is flesh, blood, nerves, bones. But man possesses a body. And man is intellect. That is, he has a mind. Well, man possesses intelligence. And man is an emotional being. But man possesses feelings. Man is a volitional being, which means man has or possesses a will. And man is a conscious being. And for that reason, man possesses a conscience. The body of man eats, sleeps, talks, walks, exercises the five senses, and performs a variety of physical acts. The intellect of man thinks, reasons, forms conclusions, accepts things, believes things, rejects things, and disbelieves things. And the emotions of man are used to love, to hate, to rejoice, to grieve, and so forth. The volition of man is the part of man which decides on certain things or chooses certain things. It formulates a will. And the consciousness of man, is something that approves what we do whenever we believe we're right, condemns us when we do what we believe is wrong. And it's something that can be educated to know good and to do good and evil. That is one way or the other. It can be educated. But its action is involuntary. It does not identify good and evil. But it does automatically approve and condemn. Okay? Now, wouldn't it be great to be truly whole or well? Just think about it. How many truly whole people or well people have you seen? The fact is, man is all men are sick. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, some are sick in their body. Some are having needs of the body. No perfect bodies. Then there are those who are sick in the mind. There are no perfectly normal minds. And there are those who, and in fact, all of us are a little bit crazy. But some in emotions, there's no perfect, I'm sorry, I messed this up. All have emotions and some have emotional problems. And we find out that volition is something where we know we don't have perfect will. No perfect wills. And conscience, some have a seared conscience. Some don't really have any twinge of conscience when they do something very wrong. Now, do you want to be made whole? Or would you be whole? I want you to consider this with me for just a moment. You need to let Jesus dwell in your entire being. Now think about this. Let Jesus dwell in your entire being without any reservation. You let him control, let him direct, and let him restrain your life. And then you'll be whole. Did you get that? There's no aspect of your life that Jesus does not have to have control of. Your body was created to glorify God. I know some people think their body is theirs to use the way they want to. But listen to the scriptures. Listen to the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Excuse me. Whom you have from God. And you are not your own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What did he say? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as such, it must not be defiled. We have to be willing to put Jesus in control of our minds. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, Paul talks about the weapons of our warfare, and he says they're not carnal, but they're mighty. And they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now listen to that. Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's how we can be whole. That's how we can be whole. This is why Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, we want to know what we should be thinking about. And we let Christ tell us how we should be thinking. Here they are. Think on these things. What do we think on? What do we fill our minds with? I'll let you be the one who answers that. You all know what it is that prevails in your mind. But what is important? How often do we let ourselves have our mind guided by Jesus into the things that we should be thinking about. But, you know, that's not all a man. That's not all. We need to put our emotions under his control as well. In Romans 12 and verse 9, let love, now remember, one of the things that emotions includes is love. And he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Now, how should our emotions be governed by God and directed by Christ? Don't be hypocritical in love. Be wholehearted in your love. Abhor anything that's evil and cling to that which is good. Again, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. That's emotions. That's your emotions. Rejoice in the Lord. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. Not just rejoice in the Lord, but rejoice always. And then Colossians 3 and 2. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. When your mind is filled with things on the earth, and that's all you ever think about, you don't ever think about anything else, you've got something wrong there. And you're not really whole. You're not well. Your mind should be thinking about the things that are not on the earth. But we go on. We must be under his rule with regard to our will. The will of man is difficult to control. Some people have a will, and I don't mean writing out a will. That's not what I'm talking about. But some people have a will that cannot be bent. Their will is one way, and that's all it is. But what we're talking about here is bringing our will under control of his will. Now, do you understand that? Our will under the control of his will. Now, listen to Jesus in John 7, verse 17. If anyone wants to do he's talking about his Father, his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Whose will? God's will. Now, do you want to do God's will? Well, here's the solution. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Whatever we are truly hungering and thirsting for righteousness, our will come under the control of his will. And as long as it's under the control of his will, we can be made whole. Be made whole. But that also involves bringing our conscience under his control. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, from sincere faith. Now, what is he talking about here? He's talking about a good conscience. Well, you know, Paul said that he had killed Christians in good conscience. He said he had maintained a good conscience until that very day that he stood before the Sanhedrin. What's the difference, though? His conscience was not trained correctly. And when his conscience was trained correctly, he didn't do that anymore. Now, there's a good lesson in that for us. A good lesson. There's a lot of things that we do as people of the world, if you will, that don't bother our conscience. And I'm not talking about really gross, evil things. I'm talking about things that we do that are not according to God's will, but they don't bother our conscience one bit. One bit. But when we become a Christian, become a child of God, our conscience is trained to recognize certain things as being contrary to His will. And that's when our conscience bothers us. And we are told, don't do it. Don't do it. But how often do we listen? How often do we listen? The commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience. You want to have a good conscience? You do the will of God. And then you don't have to look over your shoulder and see if anybody sees you. That's a good conscience. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 16, Peter talks here about having a good conscience. Now, when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. What does he mean? Whenever these people out here in the world make fun of us and say evil things about us, make false accusations against us, he says you have a good conscience. Because it'll all come out in the wash. And these evildoers who defame you will indeed one day be ashamed. But you don't have any reason to be. You have a good conscience. And another thing, and this is really important. Jesus came that men would be made well. Jesus came that men would be made well. Now, that is not in the physical sense. Very often people want to confuse the miracles of Jesus with the work he did in evangelism. He didn't come to make everybody on earth whole, physically. You understand that? And you say, well, how do you know that? The way I know it is, Jesus left the earth and there was a whole bunch of sick people still there. He didn't heal all of them. What? Because that wasn't his purpose. Now, had he come for that purpose, he certainly would have accomplished it. And we'd read about it. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. In John 10 and verse 10, Jesus talks here about the thief that comes into the presence of those who are in the house or in the I believe it's a sheepfold there. But he says the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. What did he mean by this? He meant he came to this earth so that we could have abundant life. Abundant life. What is an abundant life? Did you ever think about that? What is an abundant life? Now, if you were to ask some of these preachers that are on TV and what have you, they'd say the abundant life is riches and comfort and good health. What? How come Jesus didn't have any of that? How come Jesus didn't have any of that? That's not what he came for. That's not what he came for. And his disciples never enjoyed any of that. But what they had was the life that was full of hope, full of joy in Christ, and even in the face of death, they could face death with a big smile because they knew that they would go on living somewhere with Jesus. That's the abundant life. Abundant life can be yours. You may be as poor as a church mouse. I don't know what a church mouse is poor as, but anyway, poor as a church mouse. Or you can have an abundance of wealth. Doesn't matter. You can have the abundant life. You can be made whole by Jesus. Do you want to be made well? Well, what has he done for us? He's given us the scriptures. He's given us the scriptures. Now I want you to turn to 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 through 17. Paul here is talking about Timothy's grandmother and his mother and so forth. And he says, and that from childhood you have known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now here, before Christ even came, Timothy was learning the scriptures. Learning the scriptures. What were the scriptures doing for him? It was making him wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what it was doing. Now, what does Paul have to say about all scripture? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. I want to stop there. And I want you to take note. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does inspiration mean? Well, it literally means, ready for it? God breathed. That's what it means. It literally means God breathed. What is it? What's the essence of it? Whenever God spoke, the breath came out of his mouth. Man heard it. It was from God. So we are talking here about scripture being inspired by God. Now, what is it profitable for? Listen to me. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, there isn't a work that you can find on the face of this earth that God's Word doesn't equip you to do. Now, you might find a lot of works to do, but God's Word never said anything about them, so they're not in the realm of His authority. But every good work is, we are given the equipment to do it. Now, what do we do with these scriptures? Well, we have to study them. We have to know what they teach us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, Paul said that we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you meditate on the Scriptures, when you concentrate on your will being under the control of God, you are being transformed into the same image of Christ from glory to glory. Why? Because we know Christ's image is the perfect one. Christ is the ideal, if you will. And what are we trying to do? Be as much like Him as possible. Think about that. As much like Him as possible. We are under His control for that reason. In 2 Peter 1 and verses 3 through 5, Peter writes that God's divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been has been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and so on and so forth. Now, I want to go back and look at this. Partakers of the divine nature. You want to be well? You want to be whole? There's the solution. Be a partaker of the divine nature. That means make your life in the image of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Now, this being made well is something that will find its completion when Christ comes again. Look with me, if you will, at 1 Corinthians 15. And over in this passage of Scripture, Paul talks about the second coming of Christ and the resurrection and so forth. And you listen to him in verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. All of us are going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There you go. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's it. That's what we strive for every day. Now, the question is, how do you stand now? Are you satisfied with the way you are? Have you come to Jesus Christ through obedience to the gospel? If not, you ought to. And if you're a Christian, are you well? Now, I'm not asking whether you're well physically. Are you well in the way that we talked about this morning? Are you well? If you're sick, why not come to the great physician and be cured? Think about it. Think about it carefully. We want to be whole, and Jesus can make us whole. If we are guilty of sin, we don't have to carry that burden around. We can ask God to forgive us. Ask our brethren to pray with us and for us. And know for sure God will hear and will erase the slate and make it pure again. And then we can walk in that new life that we started all long time ago maybe. But newness of life. And that is getting ourselves in the form of Jesus Christ.